God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Also, now would you turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans, the 7th chapter and the 21st verse. Romans 7 and 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'd like to minister just a short while today upon this thought of silencing the critics. Silencing the critics. Now, I'm not going to preach long. Number one, I don't have the strength to. But number two, we're ready. We are ready. Somebody's ready. Church, will you help me preach? Church, will you help me preach? Before Brother Lyman prays over the message, I stopped at Taco Cabana right over by the Astro World Friday right before I had the wreck. And I turned and I looked at all of those people sitting there of all different races and nationalities. And I watched them while they were eating. I took my food because I'd bought it to go. I walked out of the restaurant and I wept all the way across the parking lot. I got in my car and I sat there a long time and I cried. I said, God, people are searching for reality. And we hold the key to unlock the door for their lives. I said, I'm not called to this place. You haven't called me to build a church in this area. But please, would you send a man of God to this area that really cares about people? Really cares about people. I don't want anybody to come to this city and weep and say nobody cares over this area. I want us to have a burden for men and women. Come on, church. I want this church to care about people no matter who, whether they have money or don't have money. God's trying to bring conviction in here for this little message I'm about to preach. You ready to pray? Church, are you ready to pray? If you are, I want you to lift your hands and help me pray. Brother Lyman, will you come? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that is in this place here, God, this afternoon. God, anoint the man of God as he ministers, Lord God. Let someone understand the foolishness, the foolish things of God. Give him understanding today, God, that it's not just foolishness, God. God, but it'll give him peace, God, and hope. God, it'll give him, Lord God, a clean garment, Lord Jesus. God, begin to do your work today, God. Go through this place today, God. Find hearts, God, Lord Jesus. Mend them, O God. Touch their lives, God. Let there come, O God, a transformation, God. When you begin to do a work, God, it is real and it is genuine. God, we ask you today, God, let our altars be filled. Let somebody be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let somebody be washed in your precious blood. We'll give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Please, no going in and out. Give me just a little while, and then you'll be dismissed. God bless you. You may be seated. I am what you might call an avid reader. I have a voracious appetite for literature. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's history, political science, poetry. It doesn't really matter what area of literature I enjoy reading. I enjoy reading famous plays and that have been renowned, that carry some kind of a good moral story to it. I enjoy reading fiction, nonfiction. And because of being involved in that and reading so much, one of the first parts of a newspaper that I will turn to will be to the section that generally falls under lifestyles. And in there they will bring up books of all nature, of all areas. And they will have what is called in there the book review area. They're called critics. These are professionals that have been hired. I like to call them gunslingers. And for a better word, their pens are pungent. They are asinine. And generally, if you will ever read those book reviews, most of the time, almost without fail, it doesn't say many good things. It's got to be something extremely famous, written by someone that is so renowned. And yet I've seen that not even famous writers are off limits. Those critics have been hired to take apart a playwright, a book, and they can get mean. And there are times when I have read those critics, and I've literally, so help me, felt the blood come up in my face. Just the anger, because I know many of those people, the only reason they're doing that is because they were not successful in that area of literary arena. They didn't write some great book. They were not a famous playwright. The only thing was they were hired because they had just gotten close enough and they never could come up to that high professionalism. They do just enough to take it apart. They were not there in the arena of doing something of act of acclaim. They were only there to take something apart. You may wonder where I'm going right now, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest critic in all of the history of humankind, yea, in all of eternity, is the devil. Now, church, now I've been encouraging you all day long, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I want the pew talking back to me today. I don't know whether you're spiritually lazy or what's got into you, or whether it's my wife that's not here or not. But I'm going to tell you something. We're fixing to have church around here. I said we're fixing to have church around here. Now, I've been saying it. We're fixing to have church around here. Amen. And the greatest critic of all times is Lucifer. I want you to know, he couldn't duplicate what God did and what God was. He was the first critic of all times. He began to dismantle, if it were, in his mind and in the mind of a third of the angels, what God was and what God could do. And the Bible calls him a destroyer. The Bible also says he's an accuser of the brethren. I want you to know, some of this demoralizing and some of this degrading and some of this put down some of you have been going through, you didn't conjure that up in your mind. There was a spirit that put that inside of you. You were born to be a winner. God made you and me in his image. Now I'm going to preach a little bit, and I want you to understand, we're going to lay a foundation for something. You weren't born to be sour. You weren't made to be depressed. God created within you the intellectual, mental capacity to rise above the things of this life. He's put something within you to receive spiritual things. I want you to know, I espouse and preach from this pulpit, you can be anything in God that you want to be. You don't have to go to hell.
You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be cynical. That's a spirit that comes from the greatest critic of all. Hallelujah. Yes, we're born in sin and shape of iniquity. But there's something else to talk about. There was a Savior that came and died for us and rose again. Well, I'd like to get a hold of one of those professional critics and get him in an apostolic church to feel what you and I feel right now. Friend, when you feel the put down, look around. I said, when you feel the put down, look around. There's a spirit looking somewhere that despises every good work. He's still about the business of doing what he did from the beginning. Telling everybody God can't. Telling everybody God won't. Telling everybody that would listen to him within range of his voice of lies and deceit, there's no hope. Everything's hopeless. There's no way of getting out of this. I'll lead you out. I'll help you. We'll get bigger than God. God doesn't even know what he's doing anyway. And so he brought down a third of the angels. He tried the same thing in the garden. Adam and Eve listened to him. He began to pervert the scripture. Hath God said? And he began to take away from the things of God. And he's still doing the same thing right now. And he's doing it to some of you. But we're fixing to silence the critics. Sir, if you'll listen to the message I'm about to preach, I want you to know my God is able. My God is able. My God is able. Just as sure as the professional critics are in the place that they are because they never became an overwhelming success in their area of endeavors, so is the devil, the critic of all critics, because he never could be God. He wanted to be God, but he couldn't get up to par. He tried. He struggled at it. He lied about it. But when the showdown came, he always bites the dust. He did it in the garden. He did it in Mount Carmel. He did it in Mount Calvary. He's still doing it today. If you're looking around for the devil, look down. I said, look down. He's not up, he's down. He started in the garden down, and he's still going down. Praise God. The dictionary tells us this. A critic is a fault finder. He's given to harsh judgment. When a one is critical, it means they are in judgment of everyone. Criticism is to find fault with someone openly. It's always evaluating them. It's always analyzing them. Criticism also means to go around continually pointing out faults. Oh, and that's what the devil's done to some of you. I already knew who I'm preaching to. There's some men and women in here. Your mind is so confused. And you're so burdened down with the troubles of life. You need to listen to me just a little bit. There's somebody that hates you. He wants you to go where he knows he's going. I'm telling you, all liars and critics are going to go there. That's of that evil spirit. And it's called hell. And he wants to drag you down. You know what you need to do? You need to come out fighting today. You need to rise above that spirit. You need to say, I'm ready to silence my critics. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Number one, let's take a look at the man called Job. A man who loved God and praised the Lord and prayed on a continual basis. A man that was in contact with God. But then there was so much that came against him in one day. He lost his sheep. He lost his oxen. He lost all of his sons and his daughters. And his own wife turned against him. There were only a few servants that were saved. Fire fell out of the heavens. Demons rose up against him. Chaldeans came, destroyed everything. everything that he had. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He had three friends who came and told him, all of this came upon you because you live in sin. But the Bible said, in all of this, Job did not charge his God foolishly. He understood there's only one way to silence your critics, and that's to keep worshiping and to keep praising and to keep loving God. When the devils are raging, it's time for you to rise. Come on. When the devils are like a roaring lion, it's time for you to rise up and say, I'm not going down. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you how to silence your critic today. Lift your hands and worship your God. Now you can sit there and listen to the devil if you want to, but I made up my mind. I don't have to live under that dark cloud. I'm going to tell you something else. I refuse to live under that cloud. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I've been to the graveyard many, many times. I've buried a lot of loved ones. I've buried a lot of people close to me, people that I've loved. Amen. I've been to that graveyard many, many times. I've been through a lot of situations, had a lot of water go under the bridge, but not one time have I ever decided that I was going to give up my praise and my worship unto God. Because I learned through it all, when that devil was standing there saying, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. And tears, hot tears are pouring down your cheek, and you're under such pain and sorrow. He don't care if you're standing in a graveyard, letting a loved one down in the grave. He has no shame. He has no remorse. He doesn't regret it. He'll walk right there to the graveyard with you while you're putting roses on the grave and say, see, if your God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through all of these things. Shut up, devil. Shut up. And I don't use that word. There's only one I use that word on, and that's the devil. Get out of this graveyard, because they're going to rise at the sound of the trumpet. Come on, Austin Tabernacle. This is how we're going to silence the critics of hell. My God, somebody has got to praise the Lord. In all things, God doeth well. Hallelujah. How do you silence the critic? Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I've discerned in the spirit that a critical spirit out of hell has entered into your home. And the object of that spirit, that critic, is to turn you into what he is. Taking apart everything that's good and righteous and holy. And saying, God's not in this and God won't help you. You know what you need to do? You need to go open up the front door and back door of your house. And stand right in the middle of it and say, I don't care which door you take. Just get out of here right now. Y'all don't know what's going on. I know you don't. You're too dull in the spirit right now. But I'm telling you, something is happening in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to sit at the table and eat the bread of sorrow. I'm going to eat the manna that comes down from heaven. And his name is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let his praise be in my mouth. It's time to silence the critics. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you how to silence the critic. Is to go ahead and praise the Lord. There's another way to silence the critic. I see a little young man, they believe probably 17, 18, possibly the oldest, 19 years old. He has a basket full of bread and raisins. He's got some cheese. His daddy's sitting down to the battle. See how it's going on. They haven't even started fighting yet. Because 40 days, they've been watching a Goliath march down through the valley. All them climb trees, hide behind rocks. Everybody's scared. The king should have been fighting. He's back in the tent hiding and trembling. Here comes this young boy riding up in the coach. The servant steps down. And so does David. They take a look around. They see the Philistine army. And at that exact moment, they hear the great giant out in the middle of the field. Give me a man. And nobody. body moves. David stirs something up within him. He cannot stand to hear that voice. When you get tired of hearing that voice, when you get tired of hearing that voice, something's going to stir up inside of you. When you get tired of hearing the voice say, you can't, you won't, you're going to hell, something gets stirred up within you saying, I don't have to put up with that. I'm not going to put up with that. I don't have to live that way. But something's got to stir within your soul. Oh, I know what I'm doing today. I got me a devil by the throat. I'm about to cut his head off. And honey, that's the only way anybody can get the Holy Ghost. That's the only way anybody can break out. Because as long as we all sit here saying, it can't be done, it won't be done. But when we rise up in the Spirit and begin to believe God, men and women's lives are going to be changed. You may be seated. You took a look around and said, I don't like what I'm hearing. There's some odd things you got to fight through sometimes to silence your critics. Sometimes it's people that are closest to you. Yeah. Nehemiah found out that in Sanballat and Tobiah. They told him, said, you can't build a wall. You can't build a wall. This was his own people. You can't build a wall. And when you do get the wall built, said a fox come along and knock it over. Nehemiah had to make up his mind. I ain't listening to nobody. I'm going to take care of this attitude. We're going to build up a wall that's going to protect what we have in God. And so he started building. In 51 days, he built it. You know, sometimes even your best friends end up being a critic, saying you can't make it. Even your mate will tell you, you can't live it. Hallelujah. There's some things you got to fight on through because you love them. Don't give in and say, I love you, so I'm going to give in. No, you don't do that. You keep right on plugging. You keep right on going. You tell them, because I love you. If your mate don't want the Holy Ghost right now, don't quit. If your friends don't want it, don't quit. You're the only hope that they have. You know what David's brother said? He said, oh, we know the naughtiness of your heart. We know your pride. Yeah, you know why? Because you wouldn't go fight the devil. So I'm ready to fight him, so you're going to put me down. Hallelujah. But he made up his mind. I'm going to listen to my brothers. I'm not going to listen to the king. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. He got him a sling out of his back pocket, got him 5 smooth stones, and stepped out in the middle of that field. He took on the critics, taught his brothers, then he had to take on the devil. But he wasn't even going to listen to him, so he wasn't going to listen to Goliath either. Go ahead and mock me. Go ahead and make fun of me. But he said, I come to you. Y'all not ready for him, ready to preach now. Woo! You don't run away from this. You don't hide from this. The key to the victory is, I'm coming after you. I'm coming to you. It's fixing to happen right now. We're fixing to settle this. I'm not leaving lost. I'm not leaving without God. I'm coming to an altar. Oh, God, help this people. I wish y'all could get in tune with me today. David said, I come to you. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you how to handle the critic. Face it. The Bible said, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's going on here today? I'm going to take a little time. What's up here today? Hey, I'm kicking over some garbage cans and pour out some trash around here. What's going on around here? I got me a pitchfork. Yeah, it ain't the devil's hand either. And I'm coming after some spirits. Something going on in this building here right now. Some of you thinking about sin? Some of you got some sin in your life? What's going on in this building right now? Some of you got some things you're playing with the devil? You gonna put up with that spirit? You gonna let him drag you to hell? No, David said, I'm coming after this giant. I don't have to succumb to this. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to commit fornication. You don't have to give into that spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! And you don't need prescription drugs either. You need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Maybe seated. I feel like a coon dog. And I'm on a trail of a coon. I'm about to train me a coon. I know some of you are right now. I know the sin you're putting up with. I feel pockets in this church right now. And you're messing around. You know why? Because the devil knows we're having a revival. He knows we're having a revival. And if he can mess with you, then he thinks he can mess with this church. I got news for you. This time, you're out of here. Ain't gonna put up with you no more. After this, you can hit the door. You hear me? You can hit the door. God's mercy endureth to him that will let it endure. Man. Woo! You may be seated. All you boys that are coming in the church, all you fine young men, good-looking boys, strong, going to be healthy. God's filling some of you with the Holy Ghost already. I like seeing all you boys here worshiping God. Hallelujah. You ain't going to carry a football for the devil. You're going to make touchdowns for Jesus. You're going to be used of the Holy Ghost. I just feel like putting some things in order here today. You young ladies that are here, you're not going to be the queen on the dance floor. You're going to dance for Jesus. You'll shout in the spirit. Some of you that are here that are messing around with sexual perversion and with evil spirits, you better get rid of that devil right here in this service. Oh, hallelujah. I've been bumping up against this all day long. I'm fixing to knock this wall down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. We've got to have a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. Woo. You may be seated. Some of you run away from some things. You can't run fast enough, far enough to get away from it. He'll chase you down. You know what you got to do to silence your critics? You got to do what David did. You got to get your stocked up with ammo, and you got to step out on that battlefield, and you got to face that Goliath in your life, and you got to say to him, "I'm coming to you. You've talked your trash. You've talked your smack." You smarted off to God's people. So I'm coming to you. Hallelujah. The only way to silence your critic is to go to it. And tell that devil, I don't have to live under this, and I'm not going to live under this. Folks, this is known. This and Boulder, Colorado is known as two of the most educated cities in this nation. Did you know that? Austin, Texas, and Boulder, Colorado have some of the most PhDs known in the United States of America. This city is known for its brilliance, but it's ignorant in the things of the Spirit. They do not understand. It is not by might, and it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit. This isn't something you get out of a college. This is something you get out of an altar where God gets a hold of your life. And there's nothing wrong with education. I'm a college graduate, but I'm telling you, it's not by your intellect, but it's by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. I'm a college president, but I have enough understanding to know I can't do this by myself. You've got to have God or you're a dead man. just going to silence some critics. It's been some old spirits sitting on some of your shoulders saying, you've already failed. You're fixing to fail again. Church field, and that's as far as she goes. I'm fixing to dust that off too. We're blowing on by this. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know what David did? He went to the giant and he took him on. And before that day was over with, guess what? All the critics were running. I said they were running for their life. You may be seated. God is ready to do something for your life. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, but he had a daughter that was dying. He was willing to leave that behind to take on all the critics of his faith to get to Jesus. And when he came to the feet of Jesus and began to worship, all of the naysayers were standing around, their mouths just... Look at that Jew worshiping that radical. Look at Jairus. Look at him. Look at him praising Jesus. And their mouths were just going. Jairus knew that when he crossed that line to Jesus, they were going to throw him out of the synagogue. He knew it. He knew the critical spirits were going to start. The fault finding was going to start. But he didn't care. Because he had a daughter that was dying. And it didn't matter anymore. He had to get something in his life. My God, when you come to the place that you don't care what anybody says anymore, that you want to be saved and you want to be healed and you want God to move in your life, I'm telling you, folks, that's when things start happening. Hallelujah. He and Jairus come, started walking. Hallelujah. I'm going to your house. And while they were on the way, another woman came out of the shadows. I preached about her last week. Touched the hem of his garment. She got made whole. And while this was transpiring, it was too late. They came from the house and they told him, what are you doing with the master? Don't bother him anymore. Critics started mouthing again. Now it wasn't religious people. Now it was people close to him that knew the facts. The facts of the matter, they told the truth. Your daughter died. Don't trouble the master anymore. But Jesus turned and lifted the eyes of Jairus. And he wanted to know, you've come this far. Do you have enough faith to silence your critics? The next way to silence your critics is to have faith to go right through them. My God. God said she's dead. But Jesus said, if thou canst only believe, fear not. Hallelujah. We're fixing to silence some critics. We're fixing to take care of some spirits right now. Amen. Amen. I know what the facts are saying. I know what's going on in your life. It's facts. But I'm telling you, faith is in this building. There comes a time when faith overrides facts. Simon Peter was in a storm and he was seeking. But faith was in the midst. Faith will seize. Faith will make the critics stop. They'll stop criticizing you. If you'll only rise up in faith. Praise God. Praise God. There is a female on this side of the building. I cannot help it. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm going to have to. I see a purse. Matter of fact, I see even what the purse looks like. And I can tell you the color of the purse. My ministry is never to embarrass anyone. And you're on this side of the building and you're a female. And you're supposed to be in the church. And I see you reaching into that purse. And there are prescription drugs that you are pulling out. And you have gotten them from a doctor. I see it on that bottle. And it's not only you, but there's another one on this side that's going through the same thing. Now I'm going to tell you something. You can either succumb to that and give into that spirit and stay drugged all the rest of your life and nobody know about it. Or you can do what Jairus decided to do at the juncture of his life. Do I listen to fact or do I listen to faith? Am I going to listen to the critics? Or am I going to silence the critics? You're standing at the juncture of your life. You may be seated. You may be seated. There is a man that is in this building. You listen to me. Something happened to you in your 20s. You hear me now and listen to me in the Holy Ghost. Something happened to you in your 20s. The light went out in your heart. Nobody, not even people close to you. I think I know where you're sitting right now. You were in your 20s. Something devastated you and you've not been able to rise up against it. Nobody knows the deep pain that you have in your heart. But Jesus does. And you'll stand at the juncture of your life. Either you can accept that or you can rebuke that. You can either accept fact or you can accept faith. Fact says it happened and that's the way it's going to stay. Faith says, yes, it happened, but it's not going to stay that way. Woo! My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. Oh, pray, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody is going to rise up and say, I know what happened, but I'm not going to stay there with that. We're fixing to silence some critics. We're fixing to close the mouth of hell. We're fixing to tell it, leave my life alone. Leave my life alone. Leave my life alone. You didn't make me. Take your hands off of me. Leave my life alone. Sir, God's fixing to take it away. If you want it, man. God's fixing to heal. I wasn't even going to preach this long. I couldn't. I didn't have the strength to. I'm telling you, I came to the pulpit ready to faint. That's how much I was out of it. But I'm telling you, something's happening here today. It's been a ministry of the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to preach on just a little bit. Before I do, I want every visitor and every saint just to lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you for silencing the critics. Come on. Oh, I'm going to tell you how to take care of it. Praise. I'm going to tell you how to take care of it. Go to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to it. I'm going to tell you how to take care of it, friend. Have faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. Believe God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. You can have a lot of preaching. Believe God's going to heal you. Believe God's going to touch your mind. Something knocked it out of you. Something's taken away from you. Something's wounded you. Something's hurt you. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready to give it up? Are you ready to give it up? Are you ready to let go of it right now? Come on, church. You're not really worshiping and praying. You've been playing church all day long. I know you. Hallelujah. You've been playing church all day long. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. We're right at the juncture right now. Do I take fact or do I take faith? You know what he decided to do? He said, I'm going to take faith. Come on, Jesus. Let's finish what we started. Let's finish this thing out. Come on and go to the house. Come on and go to the house with me. Hallelujah. I am not going to stop what I started. Everybody clap your hands. Woo. Everybody clap your hands. Come on, everybody clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Woo. Somebody going to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get delivered. My Lord, have mercy. Woo. My Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Jesus, Peter and John, Mom and Daddy went in the house. Jairus stepped in the home, and there were the professionals. They were hired to mourn. They were all mourning. Oh. The daughter was dead. Oh. How'd you like to step into something like that? Oh. Jesus steps in the middle of all that moaning and crying. Every one of them hired. Oh, that's what you did back then. That was the custom. He stepped in the middle of that. Let me through. Hallelujah. Let me through. Come on, y'all. He said, I want all of you to get out of here. I want every one of you to get out of here. You know what they started doing? They started criticizing. They started making fun. She's dead. I said, get out of here. I want you on the outside. Get out. You've got to shut the door on that spirit. Get out. Some of you today, you need to put that spirit out of your life and close the door on it forever and forever. Oh, that old devil's a moaning and a groaning. But you got to put him out. I don't care if you look dead. I don't care if you feel dead. Jesus is on the scene right now. And all we need is the Lord when he stepped into that room. Tabitha, arise! Something happened when the voice of the Lord began to speak in that room. My God! Hallelujah! There's something about Jesus. When he begins to speak, something's going to happen. Oh, God. You may be seated. I'm fixing to give some people some keys. It's going to change your life forever. I went to Bible school in Houston, Texas. I worked downtown Houston in a high rise. I was into the computers back in my day. We balanced out computers for big oil company. There was a bunch of people that worked the night shift. I went under a lot of criticism. Matter of fact, one of my head bosses called me to the back one day. He said, if you don't shut up about this Jesus, he said, we are tired of hearing about you and your Lord and your testimony. He said, I don't want to hear any more about it. You're not going to do that anymore in here. I said, I will do what I want to do in my own time. And I said, and you are nobody going to stop me. He said, I told you, you're going to shut your mouth. I said, no, sir. And you ain't going to fire me either. Because I was one of their best workers. And he knew I meant it. I said, you ain't firing me. And you ain't laying a finger on me. Because, friend, they couldn't touch me. Because I gave my best to that place. Matter of fact, I won awards. Because I was one of the number one workers in that whole corporation. And I said, and I'm not stopping. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm not going to close my mouth concerning the things of the Lord. And their mouths continually run and mouth and mouth. One day I got in a Holy Ghost prayer meeting on the Bible College campus. I traveled downtown, drove about 30 miles downtown. I was so full of the Holy Ghost. I was so excited about Jesus. And one of the girls that gave me one of the hardest times was about to get off work. And she was at the elevator. The door opened. I was coming out and she was coming in. When she started to step in, I saw her fall back about 5 feet. Everybody stopped dead in their tracks. Some of you have heard me tell the story. And she looked at me and she went, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And nobody moved. Everybody stood there. Oh, door, I just stood in the middle of the elevator and it just kept ding, 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 ding. They wouldn't come in. I wouldn't go out. I wonder what in the world had happened. I didn't know what had happened. She told me later. She said, do you know why I fell back that day? Do you know what's happening on the job? I said, no, what's going on? She said, that day when that elevator door opened, she said, there was a bright light that was shining out of you. She said, I don't believe in Pentecost, but I will never touch y'all's faith again. You have something we don't have. Oh my God, I'm telling you, the only way to silence the critic is the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody's going through it. I said, somebody's going through it. I said, somebody's going through it. You may be seated in Jesus' name. My first wife is going on to be with the Lord. She was raised up in a little town called Tickfall, Louisiana. Anybody ever heard of Tickfall, Louisiana? One person. Any of y'all heard of Tickfall, Louisiana? You ever heard of Independence, Louisiana? You ever heard of Albany, Louisiana? You ever heard of Holden, Louisiana? Okay, you ever heard of Baton Rouge? Huh? You heard of Baton Rouge? Okay. It's about 35 miles from Baton Rouge. Red Stick. She's buried there. At a little country graveyard. There in Tickfall, Louisiana. A lot of things going on around that area. Called Little River Pentecostal Church. It was a little small place back when I preached. God came down. There was a Frenchman lived about a half a mile away. His wife was a French woman. And that Frenchman was full of the devil. That whole country in Tickfall, Little River, Holden, everybody knew about him. He was a cussing, drinking, fighting devil. This really happened. Dark, dark woods between where he lived and the Little River Pentecostal Church. They said on church night, you could hear her screaming all the way through those woods, over half a mile away. Please, don't hit me again. He'd take his belt off and beat her while she got dressed to go to church. He'd beat her around the face with his fist. She would come to church with her dress half tore off. Blood everywhere. Black eyes. And the ladies would dress her up, pin up her dress, and wipe the blood off of her. Oh. She'd get up in church, bruised eyes, puffy cheeks, dried up blood. And she would say, my God is a great God. My God is a good God. My God can save my husband. I believe, I believe, I believe. They said you would hear her screaming, please, honey, just let me go to church. Don't hit me again. And they knew she was coming bloodied and beaten and bruised. This is the truth, folks. She's going on to be with the Lord now. And she would come with her dress half tore off. And they'd fix it up again. She'd get up and testify, that little French woman in her little accent. My Jesus has been good to me. And he's going to save my husband. Now, fact said, it can't be done. Her husband was one of the number one critics. He would tell her, you're of the devil. Your God ain't no kind of God. And what you got ain't real. Oh, but she kept on praising. And she kept on believing. And she kept on loving God. Till one night, church time. Nobody heard the screams coming across the woods. She had a little path that she walked that half mile. When the back door opened, here he come in. Everybody like to fell out of their pews. Here he comes, sit down. She get up and testify, my God, he is able. Look at some of you sitting there with the dullest, deadest look on your face. Come on, clap your hands. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's time to silence the critics. It's time to shut that devil up. It's time to get something moving in your life. You may be seated. Well, you know what happened. I don't have to tell you. He got the Holy Ghost that night. They baptized him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He lived for God about a year. He was sent in the hospital for his regular checkup. This old Frenchman didn't cuss no more. This old Frenchman didn't drink anymore. This old Frenchman didn't party anymore. And he walked with his wife to church every church night that half mile through the woods. He was sitting up there and he was about to be checked. the nurse, the nurse said, "You sure do look happy. What you so happy about?" Said, "Nurse, if you'll go look out there in that doctor's waiting room," said, "there's a little French woman out there." Said, "That little French woman loves God." Said, "That little French woman took me and the devil on and loved me in the kingdom of God." He said, "Nurse, you know why I'm so happy? Because once I was lost, but now I'm found." Woo. He said, "I was on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven." You may be seated. They said that little old Frenchman got to worship in God. He got to praise in the Lord and got to worship in the Holy Ghost, like some of you are fixing to do around here today. He got to praise in the Lord, and somebody heard him as he was worshiping God take his last breath. He fell over there on that table praising the Lord as an elderly gentleman. The last thing the nurse heard was him saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord." When they went into the room, he had the biggest smile on his face. For the string fell off, he was gone. He left this world. I want you to know, if God can find a people in this town, we're going to silence. Clap your hands. 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 Praise Him. I said, praise Him. I can't believe I preached this long. I can't believe I did it. But I'm glad I did. For something's going on in the Holy Ghost. I said, something's going on in the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands, church, and I want you to praise the Lord right now.
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, you take up your weapons and flee.
Praise Him, church.
For God has given me authority.
Somebody praise Him.
All over thee. Well, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to take up your weapons and flee. For my God has given the authority. All over thee.
I come
to Satan in the name of the Lord to pick up your weapons and flee. For my God has given thee authority to all over thee. Well, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord to pick up your weapons and flee. For my God has given thee authority to all over thee.
I need this church to start praying right now. I'm fixing to open this altar. Pray, church, start praying right now. I'm going to tell you how strong I feel this. I'm not going to ask for an individual to come up. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this place, I'm going to ask for everybody to come up. I want you to bring somebody with you. Reach out and bring somebody, a visitor, a man, a woman. Come on, church. I feel this so strong.
Oh, my God has given the authority to all.
Come on, saints. Everybody come. Come on, sir. Come worship God. Don't stay back there. Come on, ma'am. Clear the aisle, saints. Hurry. Church, don't drag your feet. Hurry. It's here. The Holy Ghost is here.
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee. For my God has given the authority to walk all over.
Everybody,
I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee. For God has given the authority. Hey, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee.
Holy Ghost is in this.
God has given the authority.
Are you ready, church? Come on, everybody.
Hey, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to pick up your weapons and flee. for my God has given me authority.
Come on, it's Holy Ghost.